Yes, love. Yes, begging door to door. But finds the silence like no one lives there anymore. This day ain't got no place.
It's episode 406 of the Side Quest, your weekly video game and geek culture podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dally Domofsky, a.k.a. Cool Rats. Joining me as per usual is Eric LMM Smith.
This is usually where I have something clever to say.
Mike, the Mike Bachman Bachman.
Where am I and who are all these people?
And not Steven Strom, John Perry.
Yo, it's me, but it's not.
Very nice. It's a John Perry. Perio, welcome to Perio. I do that too well. It's a me, John Perry. My brother Luigi. Okay.
I'm going to cut you. I'm going to go to E3 just to cut you.
E3 is what, three and a half weeks away?
Like four.
Yeah. No, three and a half. Is it four?
Three weeks and 6 days.
There we go. So, yeah. This time in 4 weeks, we will have known all the big blockbusters.
Yeah, because that'll be past all of the news conferences, which is all that matters. Press conferences, too.
And then we've told you all about it. You've heard all about it. And it'd be fucking awesome.
It probably won't be.
We will devote part of this show to E3, which is going to be...
it could be kind of awesome.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be... Well, you know what? This is going to be a weird year for E3.
Yeah, I think we said it last week. It's either going to be one of the best or one of the worst.
Well, okay. Well, here. If you have an Xbox, you can watch the kickoff on your Xbox because they're live streaming the Xbox keynote on Xbox Live this year.
And,
did they do that last year or no?
No, they didn't do it.
Okay. Sony
did
is streaming theirs, I think, on the PS.
Yeah, but they're doing it like fucking like in PlayStation fucking home. Like,
oh,
fuck it.
Christ.
Me and Dave Boyles tried to watch it last year in PlayStation.
You gotta,
home, shit broke.
I think
you gotta take your virtual avatar to a room. You gotta find a seat. Get there early.
Then you gotta put a cup on so you don't get groped by the fucking virtual avatar next to you. It's fucking weird, dude. Just fucking get up off of me, dude. I'm just trying to fucking watch the show.
Day one of the PlayStation Home open beta, I was in there. Running around. I went to the movie theater because they said, oh, hey, we're going to be playing movies in here. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
The place where they touch each other, you thought it was a good place to hang out.
They're showing Twilight trailers for literally the entire day.
Teenagers are giving each other cyber hand jobs in the back.
Dude, don't go hang out in the fucking dark place if shit's going weird. But yeah, hey. Microsoft's showing like the keynote like on the fucking dashboard.
Yeah, we've got the links up in the schedule post. I'm going to repost it so with the updated streaming shiznits. But yeah, Microsoft is going to have it. Nintendo had it last year, which was kind of interesting. So you could actually watch it through Nintendo's website, and maybe they'll do it again. Oh, look who's hopping online right
All
now, guys!
All the publishers had theirs online.
Who's on?
I know because I was watching.
Do I have to get off now?
No, you don't. you may have already done so.
I'm pretty close. Can I get off now?
Here comes the lipstick.
Oh, Christ.
I know what I'm not wanted.
No, we're keeping you on. Yes.
You unscrewed for now. We'll add him in later, maybe.
I'm going to message him and say, you're in. Hour late. Hey, let's just get all the hate out right now for Steven Strom and just like, you know,
he's ugly and smells funny.
He's really tall.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard he dances really well.
I know we're a bit far off from PAX East to still have discussions about it, but I've tried over the last couple weeks to try to remember some specific events, guys. That whole weekend is literally gone from my brain.
That whole weekend is the most awesome weekend we've ever had. And if you're a listener to this show, you should fucking show up, tweet the fucking host of this show, and fucking come party with us, because I'll be with them. Do it. It's fucking amazing. It's amazing.
Sure, yeah, we got too drunk too many times.
We're getting that fucking hotel room again this year. These people screwed up and gave us a fucking room with no beds and a fucking ping pong table.
Well, it wasn't a ping pong table.
It just, it could have been a fucking beer pong table. It was a giant fucking table and like a 20 beds in one room with a TV. Yeah. So yeah, it was like a big ass fucking concentration camp of nerds.
Hey right? Guys, so Steven's sending me a message right now on Skype telling me exactly why he was late. And he said, here's his message. My dad, who may have appendicitis, decided right now was a great time for him to try and lift a sofa out of the house. An 800-pound sofa. So we had to move that. But first, we had to dismantle the upstairs banister railing to get it through. Is the podcast over?
800-pound sofa. Is it made of fucking Midas's gold?
Can you tell him that every SideQuest podcast is like 3 hours long, so it's okay?
Tumble Adam in midnight.
Midnight his time.
Yeah. Okay, so video games?
Yeah. Video games.
Have you guys heard about these things?
Video games.
Video games. I heard they're pretty games.
Cool. Keep that up. It's pretty good.
You got that video games.
Yeah, I imagine you like twirling a feather boa right now. Just kind of like rocking your hips.
Games. Who started this? Was it Eric or John that started this call?
I did.
All right, there you go. Steven's
so if I
it was definitely not me.
Is Steven? Steven, is that you?
Definitely.
Steven's on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, welcome, buddy.
Oh yeah.
Steven,
you're quiet.
I don't give a shit.
Oh, it's going to be a good show. We're just now getting into what we've been playing. So who wants to go first? How about Eric? Eric, you have a short one.
It's actually a good thing Steven jumped on. Otherwise, I'd have been talking to the wall. I started playing Deus Ex Human Revolution.
That's a fun game. I enjoyed that. But I got cut short halfway through to do a review.
Okay.
Telling you my fucking thoughts on it.
I can't even speak to that because I only played 2 hours of it.
Did you get to the? Did you get to the first main boss?
No, not even.
Okay, that was the main issue that most reviewers had was that fucking batshit crazy boss that you had to fight in the very beginning. The
outsourced bosses. I don't know. All I know is that, like, I just got past the tutorial and I am now infiltrating the first joint.
So you're woefully unqualified to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say it's a lot.
Like every video game, Eric is unqualified to provide an intelligent opinion on it.
Every game I play a lot, nobody else plays, and any other game I'm just starting, and I never get past that phase.
What else have you played?
Minecraft.
Play a lot of it?
A couple hours.
Are you reviewing it?
No, I'm playing... playing actual Minecraft.
Oh god, well that's see, me and Eric had a fucking full disclosure. Back when I was in the fucking fold at the SideQuest headquarters, we had a fucking serious addiction going on PC version.
This is when we used to be in the SideQuest shack. Since then we've moved into the chateau. Just yeah, clarification.
Back during the shack days of SideQuest, and we had a fucking huge addiction that I ran a server for, which is still out there if you're really in.
Is me, John,
Michael. Yanov?
Yanov was only there once in a while.
Remember Yanov, guys? Remember Yanov?
And that guy?
And don't forget Shaquille O'Neal.
No. Weird shit happened in there.
Shack.
And Taylor built too.
We built like a fucking, like a billion story home base that went down with glass ceilings. And then Michael from Thrifty Nerd built a giant golden Pokemon that was fucking like bit for bit accurate with like beautiful. His like Super Nintendo counterpart. Tim built a fucking giant right corner so he could find his way back to his goal.
Awesome.
And then, you know, and then it was like we built the side quest and logo out of snow because we couldn't find cotton quick enough.
Snow and red cotton.
Yeah, red cotton and snow.
Again for me.
I also played some Tribes. Ass End. That's still a fun game.
I don't like Tribes.
Would you guys quit your beeping? Good God.
I'm not beeping. They're fucking tweeter laden. I played Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2.
And they're probably both awesome, right?
They're amazing. Right. And they're both amazing for separate reasons. Dally, have you played either one of these?
I have not, but I have a Torchlight 2 beta code.
Yeah, they're going around.
This is the worst podcast.
I was trying to kill some time for Mike to get back. Okay, so if you want to look at Diablo 2 versus Diablo 3, the biggest thing, I mean, they've done a lot of, like, incremental improvements. There's no party system anymore, so if you're in the game, you're in the party. Everybody's loot is their own, so you don't have to be worried about getting a loot whore. Like, if it's on the ground, it's yours. If you don't pick it up, nobody gets it.
Oh, when Mike Bachman gets back online, I'm going to have to take him to task for some of that in Diablo 2.
No, he was pretty right about that. You need to fucking loot your shit or fucking just fucking don't get shit. In Diablo 2, you have to fucking Bale run and be right next to Bale right as he dies and fucking just click the shit out of the center and hope you get some shit. Anyways.
Yeah, but Mike Bachman has like level 73 characters and I just started like 2 days ago.
Level 73 is like a fucking like newbie. Anyways.
Whatever. Fuck you, John.
Anyways. Diablo 3 has done some fun things. I mean.
Guys. Okay. Hey. Start all over from the beginning, John.
Shit, from where?
I forgot to hit the record button. From what you've been playing.
So it's okay.
Okay. Oh. Well, I'll. Okay. But go ahead, John. Tell me what you've been playing.
Man, I think I'm recording. I better check now.
Oh, okay, go ahead, John. What have you been playing, John?
I have been playing Diablo for firsties. I've been playing Diablo 2 to get in shape for Diablo 3 because I've been playing Diablo 3.
Is it like a training, a specific training course you have to hit?
I played Diablo 3, and then you get about a quarter through the first act of the game, from what I can tell. And then after we finished that, I went back and played Diablo 2 with Mike Bachman. To see what kind of the differences were and just get back in shape. We attempted playing some hardcore characters and we just didn't have the patience for that. And then
you should have set up some trainers. Get yourself to a higher level.
I didn't want to cheat. I wanted like just
try cheating. It's getting to the actual content of the game.
Well, that's why we try to do hardcore characters. Of all my years of playing Diablo, I never played a hardcore character. And for you guys that doesn't know, hardcore character is. Once you die, you're dead. There's no
like rest. In the butt.
Some people like it in the butt. Doesn't mean dead.
That's homophobic.
But so if you die, it's like over. So it took us forever to get anywhere we were going because we had like kind of like power level beforehand, and then like move on somewhere in the power level and move on. I died. The first person died because of like a bad unique that spawned poison. Then I died with a fucking cold frost. I think Mike died from fucking a lag or something. But Diablo 3 makes a lot of good progressions from the first one. Gold picks up automatically, and it's a radius-based thing. Your bigger your light radius compared to the first one is like your gold radius. So the bigger...
almost like Borderlands sucking up the loot kind of... deal.
Yeah, but it only works for gold. So right. Much like the first time, your light radius, you have a gold radius that it picks up that gold.
Sure. Yeah. Do you increase your light radius like in Diablo 2?
No, there's no light radius this time. There's only gold radius.
Okay.
There is like unique loot. So whatever shows up for you only shows up for you, nobody else.
That's probably the best improvement.
It is. It's good and bad because if you're not near somebody when they kill something, your loot could drop and you could miss it.
Yeah, well, it's. I don't know.
It's about, you know.
How often does that happen, though?
Not often, but it could happen. But no. Unique loot is awesome. A lot of it was built around, like, the multiple people playing. From the best I can tell, instead of 8 people now in a multiplayer game, it's only 4 people. At least that's what it was in the beta. The Amazon page says 6. And so I'm hoping it goes up 6, but it could still be at 4.
I think 4 is the right number anyways.
Well,
it can get too hectic otherwise.
Torchlight right now, that's another thing we'll get into later, is sitting at 6.
Yeah. I don't know.
But me and Mike spent a lot of time between Diablo 3 and Diablo 2.
Yeah, we did.
The
better spend a lot more time too.
Can I play with you guys when you guys
rookie move.
What else have you been playing, John?
A lot of my stuff is probably gonna roll right into Mike Bachman. So I've also been playing The Walking Dead and a little bit of Minecraft and Awesome Knots.
I'm glad you're touching on all those. Tell me what you think of Awesome Knots, and then I'll tell you what I think. I know Steven's played a little bit as well.
Awesome Knots is a fucking great version of a MOBA for people that haven't played MOBAs. Mm-hmm. Because I tried to play League of Legends because it sounded like a great idea. It sounded like a lot like Warcraft 3 to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to play it, and then I tried to play it, and then I was called retarded and a bunch of other names, and I wouldn't want to play it anymore because these people hated me. There was no good training portion to teach me how to play. And that was a top-down, more like a Diablo 2 style deal. This one, Awesome Knots, is more of a side-scroller, and it's got a decent training system, and then the people that were with you kind of give you a better idea. And then play with friends. It's really about playing with friends.
You know, that's what... Go ahead.
I mean, playing with friends that played League of Legends really taught me how to play that game, and I think I have a better idea now of how to play other MOBAs.
You know, I as part of PSN Plus, Awesome Knots is free, so I've been playing it for a while now, right? I like the game. I'm not in love with it as everybody else is, mainly because not a lot of my, the play time that I have available, nobody else seems to ever be available. So I'm almost always playing against random folks. I've only played with friends on a couple occasions.
Fair enough, but you're playing on PSN and not Xbox.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of friends PSN friends that have the game. They're just, it's at all at different times, right? To me, the game is a great concept. It definitely reminds me of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's a 3-on-3 match.
Yeah, it's like 3-on-3 Smash Brothers. I mean, essentially what it is. And it's got some nice respawn features. And it's got some, a lot of cool upgradability. You can upgrade your characters and keep them consistent throughout every time you play. And it's always multiplayer. There's no single player aspect of the game.
There is bots.
Yeah, the bots just replace people.
Yeah, because I ended up playing a game for 20 minutes with bots before realizing that there were bots. Because
I thought you were doing really good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought I was doing terrible, and then I found out that they were AI components, and I wasn't even losing to real human beings, and I felt like a fucking chump, so I quit.
So, full disclosure, I probably wouldn't have played this game anyways, but the fact that I literally knew nothing about it until I heard that the publisher couldn't publish the game anymore was probably a bad thing.
That wasn't quite the publisher's. Well, the develop that wasn't the developer's fault.
Right, that's what I said.
Okay, that's what I was.
Published when insolvent was what happened.
Yeah, it was the publisher, not the developer. The developer was doing their shit.
That's why I said the publisher.
Well, I was giving a little more background to people that might not have caught the story. The developer
doing your job, Eric.
Putting the game out, and the publisher a day before, 2 days before the game came out, said, "We fucked up our money situation. This shit might not come out." And there was a big hubbub, and the game actually came out, so.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, didn't they have to, steal somebody else's slot? Okay, I
still no.
I don't get the slot mechanic that Microsoft seems to have implemented.
It's not fucking difficult. Capcom gets, Capcom gets
six slots here. How come they can't have 9 billion quote-unquote slots?
Because when Xbox Live Arcade first started out, there was only Wednesday releases. Now, as of the last 3 months or 2 months, we've gotten Friday releases. So give them time.
In my high school, we had about 9,000 slots.
Yeah, but none of them were very fucking profitable. That's what Microsoft's concerned about. Make all those fucking slots profitable. Anyway,
But see, like Steam, they realize that it's better for games to come out and have a chance at making money than to not come out at all.
No, it's fine. I don't think it's a bad thing for Microsoft to ramp up games, because at least for a week you're gonna get the fucking ramp up behind them.
Except they don't.
Yeah, they do. Okay. They honestly do.
I heard nothing about Awesomenauts until it was out.
So Microsoft has a real big problem with, like, not telling you when a game is coming out until the game is actually out.
You know how I find out what's coming out on Xbox Live? Major Nelson.
And good. Twitter. He's fucking doing his job then.
His Twitter.
But he's not anymore, because Inside Xbox is done.
Yeah, No. That's not part of his job is Inside Xbox. His job is to fucking tell you what's coming out.
Not really.
It is.
Xbox brand. Like, once in a while, like, I'll happen to catch, like, when he happens to publish what's coming out this week on Xbox Live, then I know it's coming out.
Every week he puts out a podcast that illustrates all those
things. Who wants to listen to an hour-long bullshit podcast to hear what games are coming out?
Who fucking wants to listen to an hour-long podcast about talking about what we think? Talking about what we think is important?
We kind of show that.
I'm just saying, people fucking care. The same reason I follow Major Nelson, because, you know, he'll tell me what's fucking going on. I know everybody's up in arms about the fucking Inside Xbox going away.
I don't care about that.
I am sorry that people in the industry lost jobs, but other than that, it doesn't fucking matter to me, because I never fucking watched any of that shit.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. That's probably why they cut it.
No shit. That's exactly why they cut it. If their fucking metrics showed that at least 51%, if that, fucking watched it, they would fucking kept it. If fucking 20% watched it, they probably would have kept it. It was not a fucking cost-saving endeavor. They put a lot of money into fucking producing these things, and nobody watched it. And it wasn't just Major Nelson. It was fucking the whole entire crews and personalities that were behind those
The reason I didn't watch it is because the only one worth watching was Major Nelson. And
that's what I'm saying, though. So, people didn't care about all that shit.
So back to Awesomenauts. I first heard about the game before PAX East. I've been – on Joystick, on IGN, a few other sites had talked about it a little bit, and then we saw it at PAX East, and I tried it out there, and obviously it's definitely different when you have a few people live and in person playing it with you, but I'm enjoying the game, but I'm not nearly as wowed by it as I'm reading a lot of the other reactions to it, and I guess it's because it's very easy to get handicapped very quickly. If one of your bases goes down or one of your turrets goes down, you're pretty much screwed, because all it takes is the other group to send out force of guys. Whoa. Yeah, and then you're screwed. So, it needs a little more balance, I think. And plus it can get pretty chaotic, which is kind of fun.
One thing I noticed about it too is something I really don't like about it, that I'm not really a big MOBA guy, but this one is like something like Superman Monday Night Combat, which is something I really enjoy. I feel like the upgrade system could use some tweaking, because it feels like you can get into the middle of a fight and then find yourself hopelessly outgunned because other guys have brought in such big bonuses and stuff. But the only way to upgrade yourself is to leave the battlefield and go back to a store and buy your stuff there, whereas in something like Super Monday Night Combat, you can just upgrade on the fly and you don't have to run all the way back to your base. And they do kind of fix that a little bit with giving you the ability to teleport, but the teleport takes so long that
I think that's balanced out. I think it's more of a preference than a game differential.
I don't know. I think it is kind of an issue for me, because I think it's really easy to find yourself just becoming badly outgunned and having nothing to do about it for a long time. I don't know.
And it can take a while to upgrade, especially if your character hasn't opened up enough of the weapons yet. You know, you really do have to play a lot in order to get anywhere near some of the folks that you're playing against. I mean, I was still at level 2, and I had just opened up a couple more weapons, and nowhere near any of the other levels that other people I was playing at, because they had already opened up larger characters.
Okay, well, now, to be fair, each match starts off everybody with 0.
what kind of characters you can unlock and what kind of perks you can unlock. But those perks require certain levels on the individual game. So
each
game you have to just to paint a picture properly. It's not like if I just like play a bunch, I can just like go in and like and run people over like a game of like Call of Duty.
Why is it every time you say Call of Duty, you get the achievement unlock sound?
That's the third time. Activision's like that, man.
Activision owns us. Well, so Awesome Knots. And you've also, you said you're also playing Walking Dead.
Dude, Walking Dead is so awesome.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Walking Dead is amazing. And, I mean, Walking Dead game is worth a podcast upon itself.
I mean, yeah, we may need to do a random battle on it.
It might be my first random battle. I mean, I don't know.
I'm gonna say
poke
one
and
statement.
Poke and prod.
I'm gonna say one statement, and you're gonna tell me if you agree. Well, first of all, did you ever read the books or watch the show?
I have watched all of the show. I did not find out about the books until after the show came out. Read a bit of the first ish season of what would be considered the show. Okay.
So, Walking Dead, I'd say, is better than the show, but maybe not quite as good as the books. Is that kind of what?
Because it's different. I've seen that comparison. I do like the show. I mean, it gets slow at points. Given my introduction to the series, I like the game, then the books, and then the show.
Oh wow! Okay.
I mean, I love the show. I really just – I'm hoping they're going to pick it up the next time around based on all the critical response from the game itself.
Yeah. It's the season's supposed to be. Mike did a great review of it.
Pretty
much nailed it.
It was okay.
I think –
fuck you, Eric. I'm going to do a review of Eric Smith here in a minute.
Put it up it's on okay. Site.
2 out of 5.
0 stars. You.
Okay, so of the people on this show, who has not played it?
Eric.
How do you know if that review is any good?
See, we just kick Eric out.
I know it's a review by you, so it automatically sucks. Mm.
So let's just put Eric on mute for 10 minutes and like talk about like in for funsies.
Okay, and then I'll just hang up.
No, it's not good. We'll try to keep it. Keeping it spoiler free, but whatever.
Yeah, okay, like, spoiler free. No, I mean the game starts off great. I mean, I think they're going to end up doing a great job of balancing the comics fans and the movie and the TV show fans, because I mean they can't ignore the TV show fans completely, because the TV show fans, as much as they'd like to ignore it, are probably the bigger fucking monopoly of the.
It brought a lot of people to the series.
I mean, yeah, and there's more. Like I said, there's probably more people that have seen the Spider-Man movie than there were that read the Spider-Man comic that came out that month.
Well, and it's a lot easier to watch a show on TV when it's just beamed straight in your house than to go find a comic book shop and go pick up comic books.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I think the first season, at least the first couple episodes were fucking amazing. And getting into reviewing the series as a whole is a whole other.
The beginning and end of both seasons are great.
The beginning of every season of that show is pretty much good. Well, it's the fucking middle they always stumble on.
There are two. Eric said both.
I'm fucking just calling into count. This is the way I expect the season 3 to go. But the game supersedes all of that. It cuts past all the bullshit. I actually want to listen to the drama. I mean, like I skip past most of it in Torchlight, whereas in like Diablo 2, I would not have. I'd have watched the cinematics because they're so amazing, because of the quality of the cinematics and the graph and the design and detail. Versus Walking Dead, I mean, it's not superb graphics. I mean, it's got a really good inky outlining style of graphics, but the dialogue makes you want to listen to everything they have to say. And then you're presenting. Oh, go ahead.
It is still the best looking Telltale game there has ever been.
Oh yeah, that's without a doubt. Now, then you're left with choices, and instead of like having time to make these choices, you're left with limited amount of time to make most of these choices. You have to pick one or the other. And those things are pretty good. And I played it on my desktop and I played it on the Xbox. It works well both ways. The choice system and the QuickTime system, when you're met with QuickTime events, works better on the Xbox because you're not looking down to find those keys. They're like right there. You know exactly where they're at because they're color coded and the letters are on there.
This is the episode where we found out that John Perry doesn't know how to type.
It's like when you're sitting there, like, the game lures you into a fucking sense of subtlety. You're sitting there listening to the conversations go on, and you're getting involved in these story plot lines, and you're kind of backing away from the keyboard and more onto the mouse.
It's just like Mass Effect 2. The first time I played that on PC. It was the first time I played it, and I didn't pay attention to that game coming out at all. But when there's the interrupts and everything, I just missed like half of them because I wasn't paying attention on what to do. So I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, I had a very similar issue with the PC version of Assassin's Creed 2. It was pretty tough for me to get the QuickTime events down.
So you could hug Da Vinci?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I missed it, and then
That's the worst. You should have replayed the game just for that.
No, I did. I've reloaded that whole chapter, replayed through the entire game so I could hug Leonardo. Because the look of just abject, like, depression on his face after you don't hug him just, like, destroyed me, so I had to go back.
And, in full disclosure, I mean, like, playing through the first time on the PC version, it never hurt me, like, being, like, a little bit slow on the PC side, like, clicking on the Z and E buttons. I mean, that's the only time I died once during both my playthroughs, and that was because I did not aim my mouse arrow quick enough in the motel scene trying to take out the zombies. And that,
speaking of aiming your mouse,
I only died once.
That reticle is designed to be a little bit off-putting because to add to the fear factor, I think. I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, they could make it be exacting, but I think they really made it to be a little bit off-putting to add to the tension of the game.
To me, it looked like it was like a placeholder or something that they had in there at one point and then just forgot to change out.
Yeah, it didn't feel that way to me. I was like, oh shit, okay, I'm on. Because you don't have to be exact. I mean, if a little bit of your placeholder is on the zombie's head or face or whatever you're doing, it all works.
I usually try to do the face.
I always do the face.
So Mike, are you playing games?
Yeah, I was going to mention about Walking Dead. I only died once, and that was on purpose. So just to see if
just
I could
to watch him die.
Okay, but Walking Dead is awesome, right? I mean, can we just be clear?
No, Walking Dead is excellent. And the thing is, I'm really glad that it's not that finally there's a point and click adventure game, which I realize this kind of defeats the purpose. But it's not all about, you know, figuring out what obscure way to use these, like, these puzzle pieces together to make, you know, what you want to happen. It's, you know, it's about the story and the things that you do to, like, to alter the story.
Well,
really,
to be fair, that hasn't been the MO for the past couple Telltale Adventure games.
Well, more so than The Walking Dead, though.
Yeah,
this
probably.
The most story-oriented Telltale game.
Well, and the first game on this is not a very good teller because the first game is going to end up in the same spot no matter what. And the best I can tell from the gameplay that I've been through it twice and the gameplay.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely diamond shaped for every single episode.
Well, see, I don't know. I think the later episodes are not going to be diamond shaped based on what I heard on. I've heard from interviews from the different writers
they
that have worked on.
They don't even really know because they haven't.
No,
even
they don't know. No, I mean, I'm talking about the writers like the 3, 4, and 5, but like they're testing 2 right now. I do not think they're all going to be diamond shaped. I think they're going
to
be like
they have to be. They're just blowing smoke up ass.
You have to be.
I don't think they are. I mean, and I could be wrong, but I'm hoping they're not. I think they're going to have some deviations, and I think you're going to make a difference on the choices you make.
Hopefully, I just don't think they have the budget for it.
Well, depending on the choices you make, this is something I heard from Telltale. Depending on the choices you make, the main character may or may not turn out to have been blind the whole time at the end of the game.
So you were talking directly to Gary Whitta?
I am.
The choice, it's, you know, it depends on how many times you make the choice to masturbate throughout the game. That's how
just
you
one. Hey, from what I've heard from my mother, it's only one time. It's all you need.
Oh no.
Episode 5 takes place in hell, because that's where you're going to go if you ask me.
No, I mean, no, honest to God, Walking Dead.
Okay, buy it now.
I mean, ever since I've been back from PAX, I've played more PC games. There's so many amazing PC games. This is the year of PC games. Super Monday Night Combat.
Yeah. How great is it?
So, Diablo 3, Torchlight 2.
I know you don't like it, but Tribes.
Tribes, it's not my favorite thing, but Tribes is there for the guys that like
it. And it's free.
Super Monday Night Combat is free.
Yeah, Super Monday Night Combat.
So free to play does not necessarily exclude it from being a decent PC game.
Yeah,
it does
not. But it's still surprising when a free to play game is actually good.
You know what? One of the greatest indicators that this is a great year for PC gaming, that PC gaming is really picking up. You've got like a major release Rockstar game of this year coming out day and date on PC with the
right. and they have the most blown out recommended settings for the game. Telling you to use next generation hardware.
What game is this?
Max Payne.
Oh, well, I'm not gonna play that. I want to play Diablo 3.
It's getting to the point where I'm.
Well, you can do both, John.
Yeah,
I don't need to do both. I want to do one, and I'm gonna fucking specialize.
It's to the point now where I'm buying almost all multi-platform games on PC because it's once again getting to be the way to play games.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Even last year was a great year.
Like, oh yeah, absolutely.
You didn't see a ton of great exclusives, but you saw a lot of better on PCs, like, you know, for the first time in a little while. Not just looking better, but in a lot of cases playing better.
I think we glanced across that with Minecraft, right? That was like a fucking multi-platform game that brought Dally into the mix, even for a little bit. Like, he fucking like snoozed his way into the game, right?
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows that as soon as Dally fires up the game, he falls asleep.
Okay.
Yes. It's the same with podcasts, actually.
play anything else, Mike?
That was the only thing that we talked about was Walking Dead. I played I played Torchlight 2.
We talked about a little.
Start that. I got my click so wet, just dripping wet.
But it's so much quicker and faster than Diablo, right?
To get it wet and click.
Yeah, I guess. No. Torchlight 2, it seems what they're doing is they're really getting the Diablo formula right, as opposed to kind of branching off and doing their own thing. They have a few things that are kind of independent from Diablo, like the pet system is you know their own thing.
I like the pet system, and I think the frequency of the unique and rare items and the
Yeah, you get
you feel more baller throughout, like your lower levels.
One of the things that's like really cool, and you know, like on the surface, the only thing you can say about Torchlight, really, and I'm sorry to say this, is that it's a Diablo clone.
It came from the people that built Diablo. So
who made that? Still, who made that game, Mike?
These guys.
Who's Max Schaefer?
When he told me his name, I wrote it down as Matt Schaefer. Cut that out of the podcast.
So not only did you not know who he was, but you spelled his name wrong. Or you
see, here's the thing.
Oh, fuck Eric. We interviewed fucking Matt or fucking Matt Paladin.
Who did you interview?
Fucking Dan Paladin for fucking Behemoth last year. And I'm like, who's this guy? He's like, I don't fucking know. And the dude's like fucking 4 foot tall, and he's like, we'll figure it out.
Is that I listen to music and I know songs that I like. I couldn't tell you who the fucking artist was. Like, that's just kind of the way I roll.
The same way. I like music. I don't fucking know their names.
Which is a shame.
I've heard the music you listen to. They're all LMFAO.
Oh, okay.
Every song.
I just have 30 instances of Party Rock Anthem in my playlist. The thing is, like, what they've done is with Torchlight 2 is they've really refined a lot of the aspects of Diablo, and they've done some really cool things. Like, I mentioned the pet system.
Oh, sending your pet to sell shit for you and buy pots and scrolls.
Yes, yeah, so cool.
Amazing. My dog to go buy pot for me.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing that for years, but now that I can do it in a game, it's fucking amazing.
Everybody says, oh, you know, that dog's cute, and then they give him a discount.
But no.
Oh, man, okay. Oh, man, so Eric, you just got me green with envy for making that joke.
I fucked it. Dope jokes aside, they have dogs, cats, dragons, wolves,
Let me tell you something about my corgi, who is named
Corgi.
His name. Lemon. Hey, hold on. My corgi is named Pancake. Right now, I got to a high level with my character, and then I went back and I like played. I was still killing stuff in the lower level areas. When you hit an enemy like for like really hard, like way more than their max HP, they explode. So here, my corgi, who is also leveled up with me, is running around biting things. And he's like, he's maybe a tenth of the size of these enemies, but when he bites them once, they explode. It's the best thing.
Yeah, I had a ferret. My ferret was badass.
That ferret was cool. I couldn't tell what the hell it was because it was just lanky and
my
like.
My fucking ferret had fucking like a fucking flyer goggles on, like on his head, and would stand up on his back feet when she was about to go down.
Oh, she goes way down.
I should probably explain like a little bit more because I feel like we go off on things a lot and never really explain what we're talking about. But it's a you've got a pet.
To the side quest.
Yeah, you've got a pet.
Ferret is a type of mammal.
You've got a pet that's with you from the beginning of the game, and it's a dog or a cat or a bulldog. In Torchlight 1, it was like you get a dog or you get a cat. That's it. Now there's like eight, I think.
No, there's there's like a different bunch. You can have a cat, a dog, a ferret, dragon, a falcon, a dragon, a hawk, fucking wolf, whatever you fucking want. You can have
Whatever you want, we got it. When you start the game, a guy opens up his trench coat and he's got just animals. You get to pick one.
You can have all this.
But the thing is, this animal is basically your slave, right? I mean, you can tell him he fights for you.
Now with that fucking S word.
Yeah. he fights for
Obama's
you, right?
Obama's president. Careful.
No, Obama's president. Racism is over.
Yeah. All right.
But you know.
Whoa.
What's happening?
Whoa.
Mike.
That's not.
That's John. John.
Jonathan.
I'm going to start booing
people.
There he goes. Nope, I kicked him.
Fix your shit. I mean, like, this animal will do, like, all sorts of things for you. That sounds dirty. Should I wait till we get him back? Like, what should I do?
Say, like, keep going. John just got killed by Mr. Scratch. Like, we should take a moment.
Corgi took care of John.
Yeah, the corgi bit John and he exploded.
John had the worst asparagus in the world.
I will never talk about the fucking Diablo 3 characters again. Or the fucking Torchlight 2 characters.
Okay,
They do a lot of cool things. Like, one of the things that's really cool is gear. The way gear works now is, like, There's two ways that you can become eligible to use a piece of gear. Like, if you get a really sweet unique and you got a, you know, there's two separate sets of requirements. You could either hit a level or you can get a certain stat requirement to use it. Or a couple of stats that you've got to get to a certain point. For instance, I found a sword that I ended up giving to a new character, and that sword, like, the only requirement on it, it was either level 21 or 80 strength. So what I did was I gave it to my berserker, and my berserker, up until like level, I think 12 or 11 or, you know, something somewhere in that range, I just put nothing but points into strength, and I'm essentially able to use this weapon really earlier than I normally would be able to. And it ends up being badass. Everything I'm hitting like once I have no survivability to speak of because I didn't put any points into vitality or energy or anything like that. But everything that I'm hitting right now is exploding in like one hit. So it's, you know, it doesn't matter. And that's really cool. They fixed the enchanting. Enchanting in Torchlight 1 was really broken. You could just sit here. You could take like a level 10 item, just put as much money as you wanted into it. Pay an enchanter to just keep adding magical effects. And what you ended up with was like an item that was way better, you know, it's a level 10 item that's way better at level 20 than any of the level 20 items that you're picking up, unless you wanted to put all the gold into leveling up a level 20 item. But they've done it now is that the gold per each. Are you guys still here?
Yep.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, we're with you.
Everybody's so quiet. What they've done now is
nonsense.
What they've done now is that the gold to enchant like increases exponentially every time you enchant.
That's
So like much so that, like, you know, I enchant like something the first time and it's like 800 gold. The second time it's maybe like 4,000. The third time it's going to be like 16,000 gold. You know, so you can still keep doing that, but it costs so much gold to do it that it's not really viable. Right. And it completely fixed it. Which they've added the option to also like remove those enchantments as well. So if you it's a random enchant when you pay to enchant something. So if you say don't like the enchant that you've gotten, you can pay more gold to take that enchantment back off and then try again. So I mean, it's a much better system, and it completely, honestly, that's what ruined Torchlight 1 for me, and that's why I don't play it, is because the incentive to enchant things was so high. And that it completely ruined the whole point of playing a game like that, which is the loot, to get, you know, to get new things that's better than what you had before. But if the new things that you're finding, you know, isn't better than what you had before, then what's the point of playing the game? And that's why I didn't play Torchlight 1, but I think I'll play Torchlight 2.
Not quite a gambling system, is it? Hey. the gambling
system. Okay.
Hey-o, I guess.
Yay.
Eric, do you play Dungeon Crawlers at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Just
do you have buttons on your mouse?
Not in beta form. I don't like playing games that I won't show any results in.
Oh, you show results?
So, kind of like dating.
Hey,
I think it's more referring to you fit.
we fit. And I showed a lot of results in that. The board ended up breaking.
Yeah, anyway, like I think I've said before when we talked about Torchlight, is that the price point is really what's going to sell this game.
Oh, 20 bucks, you can't get past that.
20 bucks. It's 20 bucks is an excellent price for a game that's like, it's so much more of a game than Torchlight 1 was. Torchlight 1, it was kind of like Diablo 1, I mean, in that, you know, you just go down a dungeon and you just keep getting deeper and deeper, and that was it.
I usually don't call it a dungeon.
This is the same step from areas. Right. It's a step from what Diablo 1 was to Diablo 2, where now there's like outdoor areas and the environments are a lot more interesting. So that, you know, that'll hopefully hold some more interest as well.
I haven't seen the secondary act. So there. Oh no! Right. At one point, we're going to travel to a new city. That's where the beta ends.
Yeah, it's like here. Talk to this guy. Travel to a new town, and then thank you for playing the beta. Start a new character, asshole.
I like this guy.
one of the things. Go ahead.
You're saying that the jump between Torchlight 1 and Torchlight 2 is like the jump from Diablo 1 to 2. So you're saying that Diablo 3 is 12 years better than Torchlight 2 is.
Right? I'm not saying that. See, here's the thing. I was talking to my buddy John, and he was like, he's so excited. Not this John, but it
is. I was going
to
say, he's on the show right now.
We knew.
No, the John that's on the show isn't my buddy. So
he always tries to make it weird when we play video games. He tries to bring on somebody that plays the game with the same name as me.
Well, here's the thing. Is he's been like, he's such a fucking snob. He's been like, looking at, you know, Diablo 3, they've kind of changed the way the system works. Like, there's no attribute points. You don't put points into skills anymore. And he's like, so does Torchlight 2 use skill points and attribute points? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, that's a little dated, don't you think? I was like, there's one game that doesn't do that now. Like, you're such a snob. But
no, he is a fanboy.
Yep. Which so am I, but there's still room in my heart for other dungeon crawlers.
To be fair, like Diablo 3 is probably going to be for most people the pinnacle of the genre at this point.
It is, and so was Diablo 2. I mean, when you look at any game that's like that, since Diablo 2 came out, people call it, you know, when people are trying to describe what it is, they'd be like, "Oh, it's like Diablo except blah 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 blah."
Diablo clone is in the vernacular, like that is a thing.
It is, and that's why people keep using it, because Diablo is the one that did it best.
People still play in Diablo 2.
First try, they did it best. But the thing that I think Torchlight really needs to do is get put on consoles, you know, because I don't think for players' time that they're going to spend, people are still going to spend more time in Diablo. It's just going to be the way it is. I think people will still buy Torchlight 2.
Which is all they really care about.
Right.
Microsoft cares about.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. It's like, you know,
Torchlight, I'm not sure how well Torchlight 1 did on XBLA. Does anybody know?
Not great.
It didn't do so great.
No, it was too late, but because it was in multiplayer, so it was not.
Yeah, there's no multiplayer. That's part of it. Here's the thing, though, is like, imagine if, say, they put Torchlight 2. I kind of joked with them on Twitter about this, but imagine if they put Torchlight 2 on Vita.
Mm.
Like, how great would that be to be able to play something like Diablo, like, you know, on the go or something?
And well, I know, like, when you're sitting on your couch, you mean?
No, I play my Vita quite a bit when I'm other places. The only thing I play is Street Fighter 3. Like,
what makes a dungeon crawler fun, as we just mentioned, is being able to play with your friend.
That's the guy who I'm playing.
Can't that on the Vita.
Not necessarily. It's not. That's not 100% of it, though. And you could still play with your friends on, you know, on the Vita. But I'm saying, like,
sitting on your couch.
Sure, why not?
Get that link cable together.
Why is that? I mean, why is that any different? You're not going to want to play a split screen dungeon crawler. Everybody having their own screen is the best way to do that.
Just have one screen that scales out.
Gross.
Yo, okay. Screens are big now.
They're big.
You know what would be great?
Everybody's though.
Is if you had what do you call it? Transferring for Torchlight 2 between like PS3 and Vita, so you can take you can play with your friends on the big screen TV or whatever. But then if you could ship that character down into a single player game and then just go grab some loot while you're sitting on the bus or something, then transfer all that loot back into your main game with your friends and all that progress and all that stuff with your friends later on at a big TV. That would be something I would love to see. It's not something that's going to happen, but it would be amazing.
Split screen for a game like Torchlight is not a good idea.
I mean, split screen. It can be online.
Okay, well, right. That's all. Right, but I think you know, like,
if adding
being able to play it online, but also being able to play it on a portable system, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I just think that if they don't exactly have a ton of resources, I just think it would be money better spent putting on home consoles.
I feel like
portables.
I feel like I remember Torchlight 1 did pretty well on Steam, though.
Well, that doesn't really count because they sold
Torchlight 1 did really well, but they also gave it away at every turn. They were like, here, $5 for Torchlight.
That's how much I bought it for.
Exactly. That's how much most people bought it for.
I actually passed on it for like $2 a couple times just so I could buy it at a higher price because I felt guilty.
Oh, you're stupid.
One of the things about Torchlight 2, though, that I noticed is like how cluttered everything is. Like how cluttered like the UI is, and like how cluttered like looking at item enchantments, things like that. Like when you look at a magical item and all the attributes it has. Say for instance, I have a sword that I got that like has 10 attributes. One of those attributes is that it does like -5% to all armor, like for enemies that I hit, and then I enchant it, and it adds another attribute that's like, say, -10% to all armor. You would think that it would just say, okay, -15% to all armor now. No, it has that now in two different places. It'll say -5% and then -10% a little bit further below.
Well, this is the beta.
It's a network beta. It's not necessarily a, you know, we're testing the game beta.
Even if the game was out, though, that would be something that they could easily patch.
Yeah, that's relatively easily patchable, right? I mean, it's
what I'm saying level. Though is that when you look at an item and it's got 10 attributes, or it's got, and you know, some of those attributes do the same thing, but they're located in two different places or whatever. It's really hard. Like, you know, you don't want to have to sit there and stare at your item for 10 minutes to find out if it's better than the item that you just picked up.
Sure. It's definitely
especially when stuff is just dropping constantly. You know, is there
any colors to indicate?
There are.
Okay.
There are. One of the things
as there
like,
should be.
I kind of feel like they should just stick to the same color scheme from Diablo, honestly, because because that's what's been established.
Yeah, and if
they're,
for sure.
They're trying to pull in people from people that played Diablo 1 and 2. That's who they're going after, is people that have nostalgia for that type of game and want the same experience at, you know, at a cheap price point. They should stick with it just so that, you know, people can easily pick it up and identify, okay, no, this item's better than that one, and I can tell just by glancing at it because of the color of the text.
Yeah.
But it's, which, and that's, you know, that's not that big of a deal.
But you know, it's just me nitpicking. I nitpick okay. about a lot.
So you want to talk about some news now, folks? Daly, yep. you alive? Did you fall asleep?
No, I'm here. I hear you guys.
I don't think hey. You do. Are you guys. Playing a video game?
That's good. I am actually. I'm playing Skylanders.
Steven, we're skipping you. You're an hour late.
I was dismantling a hallway and carrying a couch.
That's the game that he played. Dismantle the hallway.
It was actually Elevator Action.
Or Elevator Action 2. Your stuff isn't listed here.
You've got 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
Go.
No, I played a game called Endless Space. It's Civilization in Space. It's in alpha right now. You can buy it. They're doing the whole Minecraft thing. It's really fun if you like that kind of game, 4X strategy game. Go play it. There you go.
That's it.
Yeah, it looks cool.
You said 2 minutes.
Does it come with a soundtrack?
If you buy, there's like two versions. One costs like $2 more than the other, and then you get like a whole bunch of extra stuff. It's like the special edition. The music is actually great. It's really great. I'd say it's worth it. But it comes with more stuff than just the soundtrack too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing this whole weird thing where if you get in on the alpha, get in and buy it now, pre-purchase it on Steam and get in on the alpha, you get like a certain number of points that you can use to vote on what things will eventually look like and play like in the game when the game comes out for full release when it's done.
Didn't they say like June?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at any release dates, but it is in alpha right now. But it
I
seems
can't believe they're calling it an alpha.
It seems mostly done. Like the multiplayer is turned off right now, and there's only 5 of the 8 playable factions that'll be in the game later on. But the game feels like it works. There's a couple of issues that I think that are just nitpicky, but I think they're design choices. I don't think they're things that they're planning on changing.
Release date is summer.
Summer, yeah. So that could, you know, June, July, probably.
Or August. Even September. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
Our World Stranger's Wrath out HD, but, you know, that's old. I played it also not to talk about that.
Yeah. Our World is still always a good game, though.
Yeah, Stranger's Wrath HD, it holds up surprisingly well.
What's that on?
PS3.
PSN.
Oh, nice.
PSN game for $15. Yeah.
Did you say that they are patching the Steam version at some point?
They have. I don't think they've like made an official statement, but I think that they have talked about patching the Steam version eventually, and they have confirmed that they are doing Munch's Odyssey in HD as well. And
there's not much to that company right now, from what I know.
Just Edwater?
Yeah.
But I have no idea.
I think they have like super limited resources. So.
What happened to Lorne Lanning? Doesn't he have like fat pockets? Can he just drop some bills on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. How's Citizen Siege working out for him? I don't know. Transmedia, dog. No. But I think they did say that they were going to do Munch's Odyssey in HD as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the HD patch for the PC version come out around the same time that the Munch's Odyssey HD came out. So they could just release those both around the same time. Because the Munch's Odyssey is also on PC now with the Oddbox thing, so all the Oddworld games are. But yeah. So I played that. We talked about Walking Dead and Awesome Knots, and I'm sure you guys have already talked about The Witcher Enhanced Edition on the last two podcasts because I wasn't on.
I didn't talk about it because I already played the game, and
Well,
nobody else has played it either because they don't like good games.
Mike is like, I was talking to Mike about it last night, and he's still on the fence about buying The Witcher.
It's only, Mike, you know, like the second best game of last
year. Mike, like me, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, you, Mike. Mike Hoffman.
Man, I've just heard that it's kind of janky. Like, I don't know.
It's janky is not the right term. It is an Eastern European game, but like, it is the masterclass.
Hold on a second. Can we go back to the part where Eric said that my face was janky? And can we just say that I am an attractive man, and I am a strong, independent black woman who don't need no man.
He actually models for Sprite. So I played some Witcher Enhanced, a bunch of Witcher Enhanced Edition.
We talked that to death last year.
Yeah, we did talk about that quite a bit. The enhancements are enhanced. It's better now. It is better than it was.
I don't know anything about it. Try it at some point, but
yeah, you should probably buy it.
Right.
So now do we want to do some news?
Yeah, let's.
That's not all I played.
Be quick. He gave you 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's move on to some news.
So what do you guys want to talk about?
Actually, a lot.
The super obvious stuff?
Let's go with the very first news. How about BioShock?
BioShock getting delayed is a bummer.
Yeah, so BioShock Infinite got delayed until February.
I didn't hear it until after work today, which is like 5:30 p.m. normal people time.
I've been dismantling houses, so I was a little bit busy.
Yeah, sure. BioShock Infinite got pushed out of October, middle of October into late February of 2013. Month delay.
26th.
That's a huge bummer.
It's what, 4 months? I mean, that's not long.
It's only a third of a year.
So here are the two things that that really kind of
news.
Yeah. Here are the two things that are kind of screwy with this. The first one being that it totally screws Take-Two for their holiday release. Well, Borderlands 2.
In a second.
Borderlands 2
is going to do mad money.
But that comes out in September.
October, Michael Pachter and my high thoughts, which I'm above Michael Pachter, obviously. Grand Theft Auto 5 has an opening.
It's too early for Grand Theft Auto 5.
Last year they're pushing for holiday 12 release, and now they have a window.
But yeah, if BioShock before this, I would have said no. But with BioShock coming, pushing into February, that seems more likely.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's a lock, but
Grand Theft Auto 5 would be ready by October.
Have they said anything about the Vita release for BioShock Infinite? Could they be trying to get
it? It's not BioShock Infinite, though, is it?
Is it not?
They said it was BioShock game.
They said it is not Infinite.
Oh, that's a shame. All right,
happens, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I would rather see a different game than just BioShock Infinite ported, though, myself.
Yeah.
So they cited, just quickly on the BioShock, they cited, we're going to get a few tweaks in there. We want to make sure this is the best game, the best FPS, adventure game possible. By the way, we're not going to be showing it at E3 this year.
Or Gamescom.
So all of a sudden you start, or PAX. So, all of a sudden you start to think, okay, now things are getting a little interesting. Something has to be seriously broken within the game to make sure it's not being shown on anything.
I don't know about that. I just think that their PR cycle was to run until October, and they probably weren't going to show anything anyways.
They were, but they showed it last year at E3.
I don't think they're going to show it this year.
I'm sure they were going to show it this year.
There's nothing else left to show. They already got everyone as excited as everyone can get.
Well...
is this another Prey 2 thing where it's just like now?
No.
This game is going to come out.
No. I'm not saying that. I mean, like, is it a thing with Prey 2? Like, everybody thought it looked great and everything, but like the consensus was that like what we saw of that game was probably all there was.
Yeah,
like,
but this is from Irrational Games, not Human Head.
I mean, okay. I mean, but. I don't feel like Irrational makes enough games, per capita.
It is
for me
Ken
too.
Levine, and he like look at that guy's character. He wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah,
I have no idea that. I mean, but it's not just him. It's like
it's a business decision.
It's a business decision, but it's also like a business. Like it is a company of people like making this game. It's not being made by one dude.
Right. Yes, but what I'm saying is he is the head of the studio, and he is going to push for the very best. He's not going to have.
Well, I'm not denying that either. I'm just wondering if it's maybe not as complete as.
I don't think there's any way that this is like Prey 2. Yeah. That's. No.
Yeah, this is more like I'd say this is more of a Gran Turismo 5 rather than a
it's a studio head that expects nothing from the nothing but the best from its people.
It's very Nintendo-ish in that, and it's very Japanese development style where, you know what, we're just going to keep developing this till it's freaking perfect. But again, I don't necessarily mind that it's moving into February. It just frees up more space for things like Aliens and Resident Evil and, you know, a bunch of other games. It just bothers me that we're not going to be seeing anything at E3. And understanding PR cycles, but they still do need to show something to say this game is viable, because now the buzz is negative about BioShock. All of a sudden, we're not going to be able to see it until, you know, probably never going to see anything again unless there's private media events geared towards
it. I think November, probably December. Be something like probably January to ramp up again.
Exactly.
Which is fine. I mean,
I don't know if that's
like
enough,
at E3, they would have been a couple months before release.
But they showed Mass Effect 3 last year at E3.
Well, yeah, and
so. And look at it released in March. They showed
It was running on that was an 18-month development cycle, not 5 years.
Yeah, but they had shown it, you know, previously as well. So
no, they didn't show anything because that was like 5 months after Mass Effect 2 came out.
Well, exactly, because then which hadn't really announced it.
That's why. Like, I'm just saying that I don't think anything more. They don't have anything ready to be shown.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They didn't even officially announce Mass Effect 3 until like, you know, a few months.
It was
until the VGAs.
VGAs, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Going back to, I just want to ask one more thing before we move on from 2K about the Rockstar thing. Yes. When was the last time Rockstar released two games in 1 year?
They've done it before. They did
But when was the last time though? Like,
I think
probably around the time Bully came out. Right? Like, what came out the same? Did anything come out the same year as Bully?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out what games they released recently. I mean.
Because they'll have Max Payne here now, but and then Eric was saying like maybe Grand Theft Auto 5 later this fall, but I don't feel like that's Rockstar MO to release two games in 1 year.
Sure.
Red Dead Redemption came out the year before L.A. Noire, so.
Mm-hmm.
If it's happened, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
So I guess,
we'll find out. I guess at E3, right?
In 2008, Grand Theft Auto and Midnight Club.
Midnight Club, okay. Yeah. Does Midnight Club count?
Yeah, Midnight Club's good games.
I'm sure it's a great game. It's just like it is not the same sort of tier as like a Red Dead Redemption or an L.A. Noire or something. Or maybe
L.A. Noire wasn't even really Rockstar.
But tier of like
if we're only going to talk Rockstar North, then it's never happened because they're just one studio.
Sure. Okay. And Rockstar North is not making Max Payne though, right?
Aren't they? I think they might have a hand in. I don't know for sure.
Oh, I'm sure Rockstar North has a hand in just about everything.
I think Rockstar North might be doing like primarily agent stuff. If they're
Rockstar
still
North, is always dipping into the honeypot.
Vancouver,
that's right. Yeah.
Vancouver's doing Max Payne 3.
Vancouver? Yeah, that sounds about right. Canadians doing our hard-boiled American detective story that takes place in Brazil.
I guess we'll find out more at E3 about everything in that respect. We may not find out anything. How about some of the fun Activision news that blew out?
Dude, Activision just makes money. Like, does anything need to be said beyond that? Except now, instead of just making money on World of Warcraft and Call of Duty, now they're making tons of Skrilla on stupid Skylanders.
Skylanders is not stupid. You take that shit back. That game, the Skylanders universe is awesome.
I will take that
The canon that's developed within the Skylanders universe has diverged from Spyro.
The overall Skylanders arc is so complex.
Oh, totally.
Good God.
The Skylanders Rises is really going to blow me away in July. The final entry in the trilogy in their dark take on Skylanders.
Yeah, I'm sure Skylanders is totally great.
What was great was it was amazing that they were able to build up the Spyro games and the Crash Bandicoot games so they can create these characters to create Skylanders. and included Iron Man as well. It was a really amazing feat that they were able to do this.
Okay, so you want to hear some crazy stats out of this?
Yeah.
More than 30 million Skylanders have been sold since October.
$500 million in Skylanders.
Give me them numbers, Eric.
They're saying by the end of this year, Skylanders is going to be a $1 billion franchise.
Yep.
Another number.
10 million people are using Call of Duty Elite.
Oh.
2 million of them are paying.
Oh.
500,000 more than February.
Woo!
Okay. Serious question. Why did people all of a sudden start buying this Call of Duty Elite?
Did they? I didn't.
Yeah, it went up 40% since their last announcement.
I started buying 40% more Call of Duty Elites than what I bought initially.
It must be like old Robbie Kotick out there buying them all himself.
Robbie Kotick.
Did Black Ops 2 just got announced recently, so I guess it's not really Black Ops 2 heat.
This is through April, so...
It has nothing to do with that, then.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, what? It seems like Modern Warfare 3 kind of cooled off pretty fast, and apparently not. Like, the public word of mouth on it seems to have kind of dropped away. But I guess people still playing that. I it's number one on Xbox Live still, isn't it?
I actually play it still, which is surprising for a Call of Duty game. I mean, I usually play it for like a month and a half and quit.
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe it's just Christmas is over, so people don't have to worry about, you know, the holiday events are over, you know, that sort of thing. You know, people have money for their own stuff now. You know, people are getting on that. You know, it's spring, so there's not quite as many new games coming out as like towards the fall. So maybe people are just like, you know, need something to spend their money on. They want to get some map packs.
Maybe, I guess. And I don't love it, but the Elite, it's pretty good service. I mean, you're getting money off on
Definitely.
Thing in the end. You're getting some okay video content, especially if you suck at the game. Like, their tutorials for some of the maps and stuff is pretty decent. Which is a big hurdle on jumping into that game,
right? Is there a husky StarCraft of Call of Duty Elite?
I think there's a dude, but they're all douchebags. I want to punch them all in the face because they're like all those stereotypical, you know, Call of Duty players.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to that, like, the Arrested Development guys were doing something, weren't they? Yeah,
that is disappeared. I've tried getting answers all over the place. It's not happening.
Yeah, even though that got announced, I kind of thought to myself, like, A, if this ever happens, like, this is the saddest direction the people from the Arrested Development people could have gone through. Like, this is, like, when Arrested Development got canceled and everything, I was just like, oh no. Like, I hope these guys go off to go do something great and interesting than that. And then the second thing was, this is never actually going to make it past one episode.
They announced three video series, and one of them has come out. So I don't know what's going on there.
Does that fall under false advertising at that point then? You're promised a certain amount of content for your subscription. Here's my question. What if, so they promised this and you pay for 1 year of Call of Duty Elite. What if like it comes out, but it comes out after the first, you know, from the moment you could buy Call of Duty Elite, then 365 days later.
You have to be up to get it.
Right. But if you were promised a certain thing, but it came out after the thing that after you had already paid for that thing, but you can't have access to that anymore because you just
roll the dice, man.
Activision is pretty good at business. I'm sure they
old Robert up in his towers.
That was actually their slogan for a while. Activision, yo, we're good at business. No,
that was what it said on Robbie Kotick's business card. I'm good at business, yo.
You seen Moneyball?
You seen Moneyball?
That's Activision slogan. You seen Moneyball?
Okay, more jerk off numbers for you, Steven. Diablo 3 is the highest pre-ordered Blizzard game, which doesn't surprise me.
I just pre-ordered it today and downloaded it, and I'll tell you what, the worst thing is the fact that I've got all that data on my hard drive and I can't use it.
I just pre-ordered it during this podcast.
The only other actual viable pre-order game was StarCraft II. And that's when pre-orders started getting big. For real?
Wait, for Blizzard games or for in general?
For all games. Like,
that's
pre-ordering on this scale wasn't a thing until a couple years ago. Like, when all these $10 off on Amazon, $20 off here, that's when it started happening.
I wish I could go back in time and go check that out, because I feel like it happened, because that was only 2010.
Yeah.
That, I feel like it was happening way before that.
It wasn't happening nearly as big. Like, it was definitely happening, but...
Yeah, not nearly as big. I don't know. Like, I remember, like, pre-order events for, like, Fallout 3 and stuff being huge in my town in North Dakota in 2007.
In my town, USA?
Yeah, my town, USA, population 69, I think. So population Route 66.
But anyway, yeah, like, Blizzard games, there's one every 5 years. So, like, it's not surprising there. And, World of Warcraft still has 10.2 million users. Those are 10.
That's got to be declining, though, isn't it?
Nope, steady.
It's stagnated. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Just wait till Pandaria launches. You're going to bring some people back in again.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, for 3 months.
I would come in. I'd come back into Pandaria just to play the fucking Pokemon non-combat pet game. Like, that's the best idea. Oh, God. I just want to play it.
What is that?
Basically, okay, they've got these things in World of Warcraft called non-combat pets, which are basically just little vanity items, right? Like, I've got a Hippogriff hatchling that you could only get through the trading card game, like, by getting a special scratch-off card that had a code for it. And, like, there's things that you can get in-game, like, some are random drops from bosses, some you get by doing a certain number of quests for a certain faction, getting enough rep from that faction. And all they are little, like, pets that follow you, like a little tiny rabbit, or like a jackalope is one of them that you could get from Brewfest, things like that. But what they've done is they're like, okay, now all these people are amassing all these non-combat pets. Like, they've got, you know, like, I've personally on my character, I've got probably 30 of them by now. And what they're doing, well, no, you can't sell them, but what they're doing is what they're doing is they're like, okay, now you can make those non-combat pets fight.
What? Your non-combat pets can go into combat?
All the pets that you've been accumulating over the years, now you can battle them like a fucking Pokemon trainer.
Oh my god.
And that's
is it like
the coolest
stadium
idea.
So like you get like these big swooping camera angles before every fight, just like the audience.
Apparently there's going to be like NPC trainers, like, just around in the world that you can find and you can battle in order to, like,
badges in their gyms. And when you're done, you get to face like 4 elite characters.
But isn't that the coolest thing? Because you've been accumulating all these things over the years since 2005 when the game came out. You've been accumulating these things that you never thought would be good for anything. And now they're like, oh, you can use those for something that still isn't good for anything, but it's fun.
That is great. But you know what's even better is that World of Warcraft is the thing that's been accumulating. World of Warcraft has just been accumulating every other video game genre and incorporating it into itself, into this weird gestalt.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a Plants vs. Zombies quest where you basically play Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, my God. And then, like, the Bejeweled thing, I remember, like, did that ever actually get, like, an official integration of the game, or was that just still a mod?
Like, I don't remember.
I think it was integrated. I'm pretty sure they licensed it.
That is so insane. And then on top of that, they just keep like absorbing all of the best parts of new MMOs all the time. The Warhammer game, Age of Reckoning, I think. And they just like started, and it's like, hey, check out this new cool game from this new Warhammer game, and then it kind of dropped off after like 2 months. Like these MMOs do, and then suddenly you hear Blizzard like, hey, check out all these awesome new features that we just invented for World of Warcraft, and it's just all the shit from Warhammer Online, like the public quest things and everything. Enjoyed. It's crazy.
Okay, one last bit of news that's kind of telling from Activision is they're putting aside $1 billion for the lawsuit that is going to trial May 29th.
Wait, did you say $1 billion?
$1 billion. They're thinking that they're going to have to pay that much out to West and Zampella.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard for me to take sides.
Is that lawsuit still going on?
It didn't even start yet.
Wow.
It's so hard for me to take sides because there's so much conjecture and hearsay involved in that case that like I have no idea who's being an asshole here. And
both are on purpose.
Yeah, well, knee jerk response is to like go with Weston Zampella, right?
Like I still agree. Like Activision is a big company that cares about them. Mike, you need to quit talking in chat so much.
I've got so much shit to say.
I'm about to kick you.
I love you.
I don't love
Mike's got so many words that he can't just convey them with his mouth.
I'll just start talking over you guys. Like, hey, Steven, have a conversation with me.
That's usually what Eric does.
Steven, because he doesn't think anybody else is talking.
Fucking mute your sound effects.
Boop-a-doop, boop-boop.
So, $1 billion, Weston Zampella, go.
No, that was pretty much it.
I actually do want to say that they are expecting a lot of money from the did they say the Bungie IP would launch within this year, within this calendar year?
Announced maybe?
Would it be announced?
I don't know, because if they haven't even announced it yet, so I can't.
Well, they mentioned that
it was announced, but not what it is.
If we were going to be like talking about E3 predictions, like third party stuff, I'd expect an E3 reveal on both the Respawn game and the Bungie game at E3.
Yeah, I think those are the two games that they're.
So Weston Zampella are going to be getting $1 billion. This makes that Kickstarter they were planning really awkward. Now.
Yeah. they're not going to get that much, but like Activision setting, if Activision is setting that much aside for this lawsuit, they're kind of worried.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, like they are the big bad wolf, and Weston Zampella are the little guys. So like,
is it
you know,
that? Yeah, is well, it, if is that's it, the public worried perception? Or? Is it the fact that they released that number, is that like a power play? You know what I mean? Like yeah, saying, like, hey, motherfucker, we got $1 billion set aside.
No, it's like them rolling a cigar. Even then, any, like, Dally's gone again. Any, like, a big-time case like this, a lawyer would take it pro bono just for the attention that it's going to get.
Oh, sure.
It's like that. It's not even going to be one-to-one with how much they're going to pay. But this is just the lawsuit payout that they're expecting to pay, not the actual court proceedings and whatnot.
And legal fees, yeah.
Yeah, so that's completely separate.
They got the money for it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean.
40% on
million dollars, like.
Yeah. That 40% bump on Elite kind of just pays for their whole legal fee, so.
Yeah, right.
I guess I don't know. Like people suing each other in the video game industry. That's becoming a new thing now, huh?
It's specifically from Activision.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Activision. Like there was the Interplay Fallout Bethesda thing too.
Yeah, well that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah, but it's been it just was going on for you know for four years that after
was,
that though.
That was Interplay dragging on, hoping to get something.
But they actually, Bethesda did get the rights back, right?
Technically, it's still muddled, but either way.
Speaking of Bethesda and ZeniMax, like Elder Scrolls Online,
we talked about it a little bit last week, but yeah. No, it's a WoW clone. Good for you guys.
It doesn't even look like a WoW clone. It looks like a Star Wars: The Old Republic clone.
No, it's a WoW clone running on the Old Republic engine.
That trailer come out or whatever?
It was like a teaser trailer, but it didn't show
any. I was just reading Game Informer.
Yeah, it's like the kind of the same thing as like when they said like, "We should have acted," and the dragon's breathing fire and made of stone kind of thing for Elder Scrolls V. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, but this game is what like I think they started working on this game like 2006. So
yeah, it's been in development for quite a while.
It's it's not going to be anything involving Skyrim.
Yeah, it takes place like 500 years before Skyrim, but you can go to Skyrim in the game, yeah. Supposedly. Yeah.
And
you can, supposedly you can go everywhere.
But that we talked about it a little bit last week, in that if it's an MMO with a bunch of people running around, I don't want to play it because it's the Elder Scrolls world with a bunch of people running around, which I don't want.
It's going to be
an instance game all to hell.
Right. Exactly.
Where, you know, I'm going to be playing with two people and then it shouldn't be an MMO because I have to pay $15 a month for instance bullshit.
Yeah, if it was an Elder Scrolls game, like if it looked on par, or at least maybe not on par, but like comparable or in that same kind of vein of art style to like Skyrim, and it was like first person and action game oriented gameplay, and that was just with a ton of people that you could play with, I'd be so down for that. But the way it looks right now just looks like any other bullshit MMO.
Like, why would they even move to third person? Like, that's not what Elder Scrolls has ever been.
Hey, right? How's the worst part of your games? We're going to put that into the big one. Yeah. The one that's going to have 100,000
people. And the best part of your game, an individual having an influence on a huge world, that's not going to be a thing. Good for you guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Supposedly you can like take the throne of the take over the imperial throne or something. It's like I just want to
everyone else that you're playing with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, oh, you get to be on the imperial throne. Now reset the raid.
Okay. Now that Steven's back and we're talking about MMOs,
how's EVE Online?
I always make fun of you for EVE Online because it's just fun to make.
Here we go.
But God, that what's going on in EVE Online right now is the greatest thing.
It's amazing.
It's so cool.
It's the greatest thing in video games.
I love it so much.
For those of you that don't know,
it's anarchy.
They decided, some folks decided to take over the economy and make their own.
Yeah, they banded together to kind of basically run a black market and take over the economy.
Yeah, it was Goon Swarm and Goon Fleet. Those motherfuckers, I love them so much.
I was watching the live stream from my phone at work. what's going on? All I see is a space station, and there's a bunch of ships flying here. What's going on? Oh my God, this is great.
No. The minute I read what was going on as it was happening in the game and whatnot, I was like, I had like a moment where it was like my bowels shifted, and I was like, somewhere Eric Smith is like eating so much crow right now for making fun of people.
I'm still gonna make fun of you because it's a
good game. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
But I like the stories of that game are far better than the stories of any other game.
And this is the best one of them the stories like, of that game.
It's amazing.
Okay, can I just. Just drop it for people who don't know.
Yeah, nope. Drop it like it's hot.
But go ahead, yeah.
So there's this in the game. There's this kind of in-game alliance, which is a sort of group of corporations, which are just guilds called like Goon Swarm. And their whole purpose within the universe is to just grief the fuck out of people and try to break the game in any way that they possibly can. And so what they did is they went to a trade hub. The game is split up into systems, and one of those systems is called JITA. And this is just kind of the de facto system that everybody goes to sell their stuff. There's a bunch of them, but this is definitely the biggest. And so what these guys did, over the course of like months and months, these Goon Swarm guys like bought up thousands and thousands, like tens of thousands of spaceships, and just filled their ships with no modules, no equipment or anything on them except for guns with one shot of ammunition each. And filled them with really hard hitting guns. And just sat inside of a trade hub and just started blowing the shit out of everybody as they came out of the stations and everything, holding these holding all the rare minerals and things that drive the economy of the player-driven economy of the EVE Online universe. And so like they've crashed the EVE Online economy, and not only that, they bought up all of the rare minerals in the weeks leading up to that, so they now control the majority share of all the things that make that universe go round, that you need to build anything and do anything within that game, and are now have moved on to like a new phase where they are like going on a like hunter killer spree, finding anybody who's trying to mine more of the stuff and getting paid bounties to shoot the shit out of these people to keep the economy wrecked, and they basically now own like the monopoly. This giant monopoly on everything in the EVE Online universe.
Okay, and now this is something I heard on the Bombcast, so I don't know if it's true. Like, is this all being done because they want some guy to commit suicide?
No. This okay. So every year, CCP, who makes the game, has this like fan fest kind of thing in Reykjavik, Iceland. And at this place, there's this guy who's like they elect officials to this board of directors that kind of manage the in-game politics and stuff of the universe.
They're CMs with actual power.
With actual power, and the CCP actually like flies this council out to Iceland every year to like discuss new policies and stuff. Like crazy vast amounts of power, like the as to what they can do within the game, basically. And he got real like. They're Icelandic, so they got real drunk, and he went on stage and like told people to grief this guy who he thought was whining or something like that until he killed himself. And now, as there's like some kind of weird, so like anything within EVE Online, it's convoluted as shit. So it's like somehow indirectly in response to that, as like almost sort of a dedicated denial of service of the economy as protest towards that guy, who then stepped down after he made those comments on stage and stuff too. He stepped down from that Council of Stellar Management is what it's called. Stuff like that, but like still in reaction to them, like that super weird dark side of EVE Online, that like the real world dark side of things. They did this within the game and like planned for months and months and months to hold the economy of the game hostage and hold it ransom over everybody else. And now, like I said, like they're doing the bountying people to keep the economy broken within the game. And meanwhile, CCP is like sitting off on the side saying like, this is great. Good job, guys. Like we this is exactly what we wanted. We built EVE Online to do this. You guys are great. And like not trying to stop it and like actively encouraging everything that's going on that's breaking their game.
It's so
and
amazing.
Like, it's look at the videos online of just these tens of thousands of ships like and people trying to fight back but to no avail, cuz like these ships there's nothing on them keeping them alive, basically. They're just shells. But there's just so many of them that they can't fight back. They have these like crazy powerful ships to banding together to fight against these guys, but they just overwhelm them with like sheer force numbers, and just for every one new ship that you see get killed, like eight more turn up, and it's just insane. Hydra ships. Yeah, it's a Hydra ship. You cut off one, and two more shall rise. And
okay, so that's our EVE update. Yeah, that's probably the last time we'll ever talk about that.
Should be a weekly thing. The EVE update should be a weekly thing.
What'd you say, Mike?
Can we have a jingle for that? That's a shitty jingle, and you know it.
Okay, we're moving on. EA posted results as well for Q4, which is actually Q1.
I think you're pretty Q.
You're Q1 and you're Q2 and you're Q2. Damn it! I should have opened with that. You're Q2.
You just shut up.
they made a lot of money, but not as much money as they made last year.
Hmm.
Whoever wrote this article should be ashamed, because this is a real piece of shit.
You're so negative. Positive, Eric. Positive. Be positive.
Dude, I can't glean any information from this.
Then don't read it. Then we'll skip it. We'll talk about it next time.
Mass Effect 3 came out, so they made some money off that. Wow. Sure. Surprise.
Good. Good for them.
And beyond that, is there any other news?
I think that's it for now. I mean, it's probably going to be pretty quiet over the next few weeks as E3 starts to ramp up. So,
well, I thought that was going to be the case already, but God, bombs coming.
Yep, and for those of us about to drop some bombs in the toilet bowl known as Hiroshima,
I'm going to go
Hiroshima.
It's essentially me going to take a dump is what I'm saying.
This episode, Stephen wasn't the most racist this time.
So is John here? John?
I think John died.
He said he was going to be right back like a half an hour ago.
He's still on the call.
Hey, did you guys hear about John Perry?
Oh, he's dead, right?
Oh, man. He got I don't know if I can say it, but they found his computer and he just had like folders and folders full of clip art. just like star wipes and they found that little clip from Microsoft Word, just Clippy. Images of the clips, Clippy the clip. Yeah. Oh man. Zipper sounds and gunshots on PowerPoints. It's just crazy.
But Dally, such is life in Night Springs.
Bum bum bum. And with that, that's going to be it for episode 406 of the Side Quest. We want to thank John Perry, who has now died.
This is not the first time John disappeared.
Yeah.
No, you can find that, there was that episode I was playing Dark Souls the whole time, and he disappeared halfway through that.
I think he just fell asleep because he is pretty old. You can find him at
so old, the same age as you.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm trying to give his information out. You can find him at John Perry.
I heard John Perry was going to die soon.
that's how good rumors start.
Mike, keeping it timely.
You can find Steven on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. I am at Steven Strom on Twitter. That's with a V, Strom.
You can find Mike Bachman.
You can find me at the Mike Bachman. That's Bachmann.
Just check your local senatorial number, your senatorial balance, and you'll be able to tell which one, how it's spelled, how Bachman might be spelled.
You can find Eric.
We talked about this at the top of the show, so you can't find me.
You can find me at Cool Rats, KEWLRATS, and you can find us all at sidequesting.com, where we hope to find you. And on iTunes, we are very popular on iTunes. We are growing the phenomenon of the
Side Quest. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for making us what we are.
We're actually in the thousands of downloads, which surprises me. But good on you.
What's wrong with you guys? But we love you. And tell your friends. Review us on iTunes.
Every episode that you're on, Eric, we seem to dip in numbers. So I think the next one is going to be all Mike Bachman. Just Mike Bachman.
Yeah, except Mike Bachman needs to do more talking instead of typing.
Hey, well, okay. Would you rather that I had said all that stuff out loud?
Yeah, so after the podcast.
Hey,
sometimes
Eric.
You got to say it before you forget.
Exactly. There you go. See, Steven's a guy that gets it. Eric, you're so behind the times. You're old news. And I just, Eric, I think that...
In this internet age, we have to learn to multitask. And we have so much technology available to us young folks.
That, if you're so ADD that you can't pay attention to what you're saying Mike's when a beep goes off, I'm going to die soon as
child
well.
Face.
What's that?
I said, even though you're a baby face, you are older than me. Bearded baby face.
I don't think that's true.
You're some
How old are
I think
you?
At heart, Mike Bachman is the youngest of us.
Okay, no, I'll tell you what. The reason that I have a beard, this is real talk right now. The reason that I have a beard is because two separate weddings, I got served grape juice. And I was like, this will not do.
And on that, we will see you guys next week on the Side Quest, a very special E3. We're going to start a run of E3 episodes. It'll begin with Microsoft.
Just do a couple random battles.
And we'll do random battles along the way. We'll do one on Walking Dead, maybe one on Torchlight. We'll see. We'll see. And Diablo 3, I'm sure.
Diablo 3.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Steven. Very good.
In a fever at the castle rock.